Stan hooked this up for me, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't even have to stand up. Stanley Steamer did this for me. That nice?
Is that on?
No.
So everybody, please, before Stan leaves. Oh, I can't work.
Yeah, I gotta flip it on. It should be on. Is it on? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's on now.
I'm not talking into the mic. Do you realize that everybody should be thankful to Stan for me, and make sure that you give him a hug and kiss before you leave here tonight. Everybody. All right? Promise. Okay, so don't forget. Do you know that, to me, that's going to be a very special treat tonight. When I met this young lady, she was only about 12 years old. Now, of course, that granddaughter that got up here and spoke about the Crystal, I knew her when she was brand new. And of course, the young woman sitting next to my granddaughter, I knew her when she was brand new, brand new. Can you believe that? I'm not old enough to have a daughter that old. Am I? Good, I saw one head shake and agreed with me. You know, I really want to be back here tonight. There's a whole food that you get when you're here with all these pretty people where you're all cheering for each other. I can feel that. You know, it's the best medicine you can have. The very best medicine you can have. Right, Jody? But anyhow, now, back to where I was. The young lady was about 12 when I met her, and her parents are, in my eyes, they're just plain perfect people. And they lived in Escondido. Now they live over there in Arizona. And this young lady moved up to L.A. So I don't get to see her very often. But she's been in this thought pattern. Just think, we had circles at her house when she was only 12. Think about that. So it's just a natural thing for her, I believe. Well, I'll let her tell you that. I don't know that for sure, but it feels right to me. So this tonight is our, well, the doll baby that I love that moved to L.A. We got, again, we have two robins here, the blue robin and the black robin. Well, this is the black robin is going to share her thoughts tonight. This is Sherlyn Dawn's daughter.
Hi, guys.
Most of you know Sherlyn Dawn.
Yeah, this is my first time speaking at church. It's kind of a big deal for me. I'm nervous because I have a lot to say, and I'm going to do my best to do it in 15 minutes. So anyway, my name is Robin, and this is a wonderful opportunity, so thank you. And the topic tonight is on faith and the dark night of the soul. Okay, so I am standing here because I just came out of a really long, dark time in my life. And I didn't think I was going to come out of it, and it just kept getting darker. It was like, you know, I've always been on a spiritual path, and yet somehow it was like I was getting more miserable. So how did that make any sense? I didn't know. So let's see here. Got my notes. Okay. Dark night of the soul. Okay. So I was always longing for a connection with God, and I think that's true for all of us. We're born with an innate sense of longing. You know, and in my case, there was a longing for connection with my own father in life because he was, this is not Don, this is my biological father I'm talking about. He was kind of in and out of my life a lot when I was a little kid, and I was really connected to him, but he left the family when I was really little. And so I think I was just primed for a spiritual life in trying to seek that connection with him and then doing it through God. So like I said, I think we're all primed and ready to do that seeking for knowledge. And I'm reminded of the Garden of Eden, where we ate from the tree of knowledge. And God said to Adam, if you eat from the tree of knowledge, you will surely die. So we know that in this church that there is no death in a finite sense, that death is a transformation. And it's like walking through the fire. It's a purification process. And so it's kind of like the mythical phoenix rising from the ashes, you know. So it's really that what we're asking for is to be purified when we go through this life. So what does that purification look like? Well, I was in this terrible crisis of faith, which is that dark night. And I didn't understand this because I felt I had always known God. I believed in God, so I didn't understand how this could be. And I looked at my life and I thought, how did I get here? There's just a string of failed relationships behind me, and I'm not making any money. I'm not living my purpose. You know, and the list kind of goes on and on. So it was really disconcerting, and I guess I felt that God had forsaken me. And so I just couldn't take it anymore. I could not handle it anymore. And so one night, I found myself on my knees, and I was crying, and I was just like, all right, God, you got me. I don't know. I thought I was doing everything you wanted me to do, and here I am, and I'm yours now, okay? I guess I'm turning it over to you. And it's funny that I had never done that before. When I prayed to God, it was always like, God, help this person, or I would like this in my life, and thanks for that. But it was never like this. This was a different kind of prayer. So where was I here? The notes. So there I was, and there was this moment where I said to God, I'm not getting off this floor until you give me an answer. And all of a sudden, everything got quiet. My mind just got quiet. Everything stopped. And the voice of God spoke to me really simply and said, Robin, you have a lot of resentments. And what do you know of people that have resentments? And I just answered, and I was like, oh, that they feel like victims. And I did not think of myself like that, but I had to be honest. I was living as if I were a victim of life, and that I was being punished somehow, and it was a big joke to God or something. So I was holding myself accountable for that, and I really saw how I had a lot of judgments towards people, probably because I was expecting to get love from them, and then if I saw their imperfections, that was a huge disappointment to me. It was like, there goes my source of love. So that was a painful but very empowering process, not as painful as the suffering from before. So let's see here, one second. So I had to come face to face with my fears, and this was all over the course of a year. So this happened about a year ago, that turning my life over to God. And then it just continued where God and I kept having these conversations, and a lot of things were happening. I moved, I was making new friends, and things started to feel better, and I was gaining some momentum. And then finally, in another conversation with God, I came face to face with the core fear. And this was my fear of loss, that I was living in fear of loss, because I had experienced a lot of loss in my life. Divorce, you know, my dad and all that. My dad passed from cancer when I was 22. That was terrible. My grandmother, the list is long. And it became part of my identity, this grieving, this sadness, you know, this fear of more loss. And I realized that what was going on was that it was like my heart was drying up. And I was saying to God, like, I can't survive anymore because I can't take any more loss. So I saw that. Okay, so quickly I'm going to tell the story of Job. I'm going to hard left into the story of Job from the Bible. Now, nobody lost more than him. He lost a lot. He was, in the Bible it says he was a God-fearing man. At the start of the story, they describe him that way. And I think that's interesting. His relationship to God was through fear. And he had everything. He was healthy, wealthy, had a wife and children and all that. Except God and Satan, you know, fear and love, had a conversation about him. And the devil said, you know, I bet he only has faith in you because you've given him everything. So if you took it all away, I bet he wouldn't have that kind of faith in you. So God did. He took everything away, took it all, wiped him clean. So there's Job, and he's like, I don't understand. I believed in you this whole time. you know, I thought I was doing everything right. And how have you done this to me? He wanted to know why. Why was he suffering? So in his dark night, he had three friends come to comfort him. And they were really of no service at all, but they came. And the three friends represent the three facets of our lower self, our human self, the mental, emotional, and physical. So the one representing the mental faculty of our being was saying to Job, maybe you just need to keep seeking God. You know, it's very rational, but not at all helpful. So then the one representing the emotional side of us was like, you know, maybe God forsake you because you're unworthy. Maybe you're unclean, unpure. And that's really how we talk to ourselves when we're suffering, from that emotional place that something's wrong with us. So then the one representing the physical aspect stood up and he said, you know, maybe you're suffering because you have transgressed God's will, or, you know, you've engaged in sins of the flesh. And so none of that was helpful because that didn't answer any questions for Job, and he was still at a loss. But then everything got quiet, and there was a fourth friend who showed up, and this friend represents our intuition, our higher self. And he had good words for Job, and he said, you have been foolish in listening to the ill counsel of these friends of yours, your lower self, your fear. And so Job had to look at that and hold himself accountable, and that was the first step in restoring faith. And so he did that, and then God showed up and was like, let me take you on a journey so you will understand. And God took him through the heavens and through all the beauty of nature, and he started asking Job rhetorical questions and saying, can you describe the architecture of the kingdom of heaven for me and all of its complexity? And can you tell me where I've put the cornerstones? And can you describe the beauty and the complexity in a leaf and a flower and all of nature? And, you know, the tides and the heavens and the cosmos. And Job is sitting there realizing, wow, I know nothing. He was humbled because he knew that he didn't know all of this, that there was so much that he didn't know and that he would never know. So he was given the gift of humility. And that is what allows faith. That's really the gateway to faith. So remembering that we can't know all the answers is like letting go and letting God. So just reminding yourself, like, I don't know the answer. I have faith that it's going to be okay. And then everything was restored back to Job twice. God doubled it. So all was good. So back to my own dark night, my own dark night of the soul. So the fear of loss, as I was talking about. How am I doing on time? Oh my gosh, 5 minutes. Okay.
You're fine.
All right. So, so my fear of loss, I want to revisit that. What was I afraid to lose, really? You know, that was the question. So, 1 second. You know, my connection to God as I knew him, which was really sort of like through my experience with my father. So I knew God from that fear place. And I knew him through my finite self, my lower self. And I felt that I really couldn't love fully, you know, anyone or life, because I still needed to kind of like, I felt so disempowered. And that was really the thing, that I had somehow divided my love and my power. It was like, yeah, I get that, like, I need to be grateful and forgiving and all these things. And I, yeah, totally believe in that. But I'm not good in here. So I don't feel powerful yet. I don't feel powerful enough to love, essentially. And then God really just showed me how ridiculous that is, you know, lovingly. But I saw that I needed to move my attention from the lower part of myself, that lower part where we feel that pain and that fear. And I needed to move it up into my heart and come from this place. And it's really actually about identity. I was identifying with my suffering. That was who I was. And everything I did was in service to that fear of loss, fear of loss of power, loss of self. And so, let's see. So once I realized that I am my ability to love, I saw that nothing can be lost then, because I can always love. I can always do that. So if that's my power, then I'm actually good. I'm not going to lose that. So I actually have nothing to lose here. And I can go through life and face these challenges and understand that, you know, everything, life goes on, you know. And there was a point I wanted to make on that. My friend, when I was telling her about this, she was so cute. She's like, it reminds me of that song. And, you know, that Gloria Gaynor, as long as I know how to love, I know I will survive. That's brilliant. I love that. So, okay. There was another point I wanted to make on that. Oh, yeah, real quick. I did want to talk. Oh, never mind. Hold on. Sorry. Story of Job again. So it's a story of ascension into the kingdom of heaven. That's what it is. He's a phoenix rising. So only those who have been purified, though, can enter the kingdom of heaven. And now we really know what that means from this context. Remember, we walk through the fire in this life, and the only parts of us that burn are the parts that are illusions. And Millie says, you want to know that you know. We want to know that we know. And it's funny, you know, the higher self always knows. The higher self knows the lower self. So that's the knowing. But the knowing that we know is the lower self knowing the higher self. So interesting to me, that's kind of like there's that Ouroboros, the serpent, the, you know, the one who is in the garden too, but that's another talk for another time. But the higher self is connected to the lower self. So we have that half of the circle. And then the lower self makes that connection and knows the higher self. And now we have infinity. Now we have eternity in our own hearts. And that's what it is to have eternal life. So this is the gift of knowledge from eating the forbidden fruit. So in other words, we can't fear death. You'll eat the forbidden fruit, you're going to die. But welcome it, because it's only going to bring you closer to God and to knowing yourself. So let's say thank you to our challenges and our suffering, our pain and all of it, and embrace it. Because every time we hit that rock bottom, we have a choice. It's an opening to just choose love and hand your life over. And once you do that, you're sealed. You're good. But as long as you don't choose it and you keep indulging in the fear, you will have to die over and over again. Simple as that. So basically, let's see, I had a sort of an ending here. Okay, so basically, that's the gift of the forbidden fruit. So welcome it. Welcome life and all of its pain. Embrace it and let it crucify you so that you can ascend into your own heart. Thank you.
Really hard. Your spiritual is so dear to you. It's so much a part of you that it's not easy to get it up in front of people and express it for the first time like that. Robin, that was perfect, honey. I wasn't able to hear every word, but what I heard was perfect. Oh, I'm just proud of you, honey. Proud of you. So what do you think, everybody?
Great. That was awesome.
It's hard to get up here and talk about it. It's hard to get up and talk about something so precious to you as your spiritual path. It's hard, really hard. I can remember when Reverend Ida Hill left the body and now who is going to be able to be strong enough to get in there and help with because she was a reverend for so many, many years, and nobody thought they could get up there and fill in for her. And Reba, the one that I told you about that had the cancer and went into the hospital and it had shrunk, so they took her off the operating table and sent her home. But I never dreamed that I would get in there with Reva and try to not fill Mom Hill's shoes, but try to keep everybody together. And I've never left it. I've been there forever. It also helped me because I never wanted to be, because I love my daughters so much, and I did not want to be somebody just sitting there on their doorstep all the time. And what about me? So I think God planned all this and just stepped right in and helped me enjoy all of you wonderful people that he sends in. But Robin, I don't think that's your last time that you will share your thoughts, because it was just wonderful, honey.